Ladies and gentlemen, I have heard your complaints, and we reached a settlement.
So, we will be leaving the office for one whole week.
Nice job.
In my contract, it is stipulated that I provide a temporary workspace. It will arrive in 1 hour.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weissenick here with you once again. Before we get into our conversation with the boys, Bobby and Justin from Talking Giants, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Okay, Giants Vikings. We already briefly discussed this past week. Let's do it real quick again. Let's talk. First round of the playoffs, we're all excited. This is going to be an awesome, awesome weekend of football, not just for the Giants, but all around. What's up? Let's chat.
What's up? Let's do this. We're doing this. Typically, we're always talking about this time of year. We've been used to talking about who's fired, who's hired, who's losing their job, who's keeping their job. This is a playoff game. The Giants are as stable as they are as an organization. They're building something special, and I do think this year has been special for them. They've won a lot of close games. I look at this game and I see areas where the Giants can take advantage of the Vikings. The Vikings offensive line is really beat up. I think the Giant, going into this game, the Giant O-line is better than the Viking O-line. Garrett Bradbury, their center's out. Brian O'Neill obviously tore his Achilles. So those are the two best linemen. And then Christian Darrisaw is going to be playing. He's the third one, but their interior is messed up. And I expect Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, who I thought was making an impact before he got hurt in that Viking game, to be huge. And then offensively, the Giants moved the ball last time. I don't see why they shouldn't be able to move the ball this time. But, you know, the stage is set for also Saquon Barkley, who we haven't talked about this week, right? Like, number two pick, touted as a generational back. This is it, my man. You want to make the big bucks? Like, obviously, the offensive line's going to have to block, but here you are, man. The stage is yours for the playoffs.
Yeah. His time is now. I mean, we spoke with Bobby and Justin about unexpected Giant star performances. Saquon is an expected one, right? Oh, yeah. Like, it's a given. Like, you need to have a big game in order for the Giants to have a shot here. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to Darius Slayton. Looking forward to see what Richie James can do underneath. Looking forward to Isaiah Hodgins, as always. And I don't think it's unfair to expect some fun things from Daniel Bellinger, since we spoke with Bobby and Justin about some obscure white tight ends having big playoff performances for the Giants in years past. So very, very excited for that.
This is going to be a golden opportunity. You mentioned it. This is the exact kind of defense that you want Saquon to go off against. The Vikings 100%. Are going to be in a lot of those two high looks. They had a lot of success with the RPOs the first time around. They had a lot of success with play action because this defense isn't that great. Their best asset is their pass rush. Beyond that, their corners are a little bit soft. You're going to be able to take advantage of their aggressiveness. We talked about the Isaiah Hodgins play in the first game, that double move where they made Pat Pete bite, that type of thing. And yeah, the running game is going to be there. Saquon underneath is going to be there. Take advantage of what the Vikings give you. There will be chances here. It's just about not making mistakes on offense. That's the only reason they lost the first time these two teams played. The two turnovers were the only reason, and special teams as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. The mistakes, if they limit their mistakes, I said it Christmas Eve, they made like 15 mistakes. If they make 14, they win that game.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm with you guys on that. And to me, like, this is the opponent we wanted. This is the opponent I think the Giants wanted. And for, you know, we know Kirk Cousins, the talk about him is, you know, these primetime games, can he deliver? I just envision the Giants getting after him all day, him making mistakes, and I just see the Giants winning this game, man. Like, it's not even a manifest. Like, I see how this thing is going to play out. I'm dreaming about this.
We saw it almost play out a couple weeks ago. So
we did, yes.
No, I don't think anyone is going to be surprised by a very close game, and I don't think anyone would be surprised with the Giants win.
And Justin Jefferson's going to get his. Like, he's going to have over 100 yards. He's going to score a touchdown, but it's just about not allowing him to take over a game. That's going to be the big thing, and we'll see. Before we get
one
to
more
Bobby.
Thing. Yes, can I ahead. Throw one more thing in? Absolutely. Don't let TJ Hockenson kill you, please. He was amazing the first time these two teams played.
Another given, in my opinion.
That's a given. Yeah. But McKinney back should help. He should help. Before we pass to Justin and Bobby, we'll talk with you guys about the rest of the wild card weekend. We've already agreed that the NFC is wide open. Let's give some predictions about the rest of the wild card weekend, okay? Let's start with the two Saturday games. Seahawks at the 49ers.
49ers, big.
Yeah,
49ers. Big.
Yeah, I'm really pissed it's not Detroit and Green Bay in this game. But
me
anyways.
Too.
Chargers-Jaguars. Jaguars get that primetime Saturday game.
Going to be a great game.
I kind of like the Jaguars here. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going with the Chargers.
I'm going with the Jaguars just because I want.
Because they won you money last week. Yeah.
Jacksonville killed them the first time they played. In like week three this year, they killed them.
Yeah, but everybody was hurt for the Chargers. But I do think the Jaguars win this game. Look, I think Brandon Staley's got to get fired. And
I mean, me too.
You know, we talk about what's the one guy we're going to talk about on Monday, you know, with the Giants' post-performance. The one coach we're going to talk about on Monday is Brandon Staley because he's going to do something stupid. Going to the game. Let's go to Sunday. Dolphins, Bills. I'm on the Bills.
Come on.
Dolphins are going through a table. The Dolphins are getting put through a table on Sunday.
Yeah. We took Vikings, Giants. Well, me and Ethan are on the Giants. Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. Because you were good. You're a little bit more nervous than us. But Ravens, Bengals. This also sucks because Lamar is probably not playing in this game. I thought
he's not, which is like, I mean, this whole thing has been unbelievable. Like, I don't understand how, whatever, this is a conversation for a different time. I'd love to talk to some, I mean, Weiss, you're down there. Like, I don't know what the sentiment is, but if I'm a Ravens fan, I don't want this guy coming back. Like,
he's hurt. He's legitimately hurt.
No, he's got a PCL strain, a sprain. It was projected to be a 2 to 3 week injury, max 3 weeks. And they are now in week one of the playoffs over a month later. And he's not even practicing.
Lamar knows that if him missing games costs him money.
No, it doesn't. If anything, he's making money right now because that offense is atrocious without him.
We knew it was going to be. They missed the playoffs last year when he got hurt at 9-4. We knew it was going to be atrocious.
Still, I think this is him. Whatever. My perception is that this is him proving a point and point proven. But if I'm a Ravens fan, I fucking hate the guy.
It's going to be a serious offseason in Baltimore.
Yes. Big. Bengals roll.
Yeah, I
honestly think that they could win the Super Bowl. Like, this is a great fucking team. Joe Burrow is unbelievable. I love the Bengals.
Monday night, Cowboys.
This is going to be interesting.
I can't wait.
This is going to be fun.
Zeke's last game as a Cowboy.
Oh yeah. I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Me too.
Me too.
Tom Brady is – I will not be surprised if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the NFC. You cannot rule out
Brady. I think they win this game.
Yeah. The Bucs are – they're a very tough matchup, and they're throwing the ball deep finally.
And Todd Bowles – they finally go on Evans.
Todd Bowles, not a good defensive coordinator – or excuse me, not a good head coach.
Good head coach, yeah.
But a very good defensive coordinator, and he is going to put some – Dak Prescott leads the league in interceptions – and he missed the first 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They look terrible against Washington.
This is going to be fun. I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun. And if they they lose that Monday game, you got like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to just clown Cowboys fans.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait. I think the Bucs win. Any Black Monday surprises?
No.
I do find the Mike LaFleur rumors very funny.
Yes,
those were going on today. There was a report that he was quote unquote mutually parting ways, and now reports from Connor and Zach, friends of the program, that that is not the case actually. But man, whatever the Jets do on offense and at quarterback this offseason is going to be very, very interesting to follow.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I posted about this in a couple places. I didn't put it out publicly, but like, I really do think that there could be something to be done. I don't know the exact trade, but involving the Bears, the Ravens, and the Jets. Some sort of quarterback pick carousel going on there. But hey, smarter minds than me can figure that out.
Yeah.
I think that every day that goes by makes me believe Sean McVay is not going to step down.
No, he's not. Coach. No, I think it was pretty much a lock when he, the report came out that he gave his coaching staff permission, like everyone, like go out there and take whatever interview you want.
So you think,
to me, that's the sign of a man that's not coming back.
No, no. I do think every day that goes by makes me believe he's not going to step down.
Oh, not going to step. Oh, I disagree with you. I think he's absolutely going to
retire.
Down.
Stafford's probably going to retire. He's not staying.
No, he's not staying. That's a bad situation. Like really bad situation.
He got his ring. Go get your prime.
But every day that goes by is one day that they can't interview a candidate.
Yeah, but still, like at this point, it's just, I don't think it's too late yet. We get into like next week, then I know. Okay.
That's fair. Yeah.
But still, right now, it's just interview requests. So,
yeah,
whatever. The Texans situation, fucked.
I don't even want to discuss.
We won't get into that.
No.
And DeAndre Hopkins. I keep going back and forth on this, man. At first, like, he doesn't fit the bill because of how old he is and what that contract is. And then I remember that Amari Cooper got traded for a fifth, and I'm like, maybe. But
yeah,
that's going to be an interesting situation to follow this offseason. So that's all I'll say for the moment. We got bigger things to focus on.
Yeah, he wants to get paid. That's the deal breaker
for Listen, me. He can want whatever he wants, but a 31-year-old coming off injuries and a PED suspension is I don't know, you know, who's going to be paying exactly other right than the Chicago Bears. So yeah,
not exactly the right time to ask for a contract extension.
Exactly. So that's that. Let's throw it to Bobby and Justin. All right, we welcome on our guests, the boys from Talking Giants. They need no formal introduction. Bobby and Justin, what's up, guys?
What's going on? Let's win some games. It's the playoffs. And I haven't – this is just a fun week.
It's a very fun week.
Where it's like you can justifiably like share two stuff from 2007, 2011. You can talk about the whole season as a whole and also prep for the Vikings where it's like you can do whatever you want this week.
I will say, though, the one thing that has been bothering me, it's been in the back of my mind pretty much since the Giants clinched, is that I think every year since 2011, there has been some beat writer or blogger that we will not name on the show that drags in some totally unwarranted comparison of a current Giants team to previous Super Bowl winning Giants teams. Like, oh shit, like this offseason, like this happened in 2007. Like, oh, this happened halfway through the season, 2011. Like, are we drawing parallels to the Giants making a Super Bowl run? And that's just been in the back of my head that those people may or may not be validated now.
Well, at least in other years, it's been like, well, you know, they did start out 0-2. So it's at least it's like some more positive talking points this year.
Yeah, exactly. But I think generally we're all very, very positive going into this Sunday's game. I mean, last podcast we did. Okay. Justin just outed himself as not being a weekly listener of the podcast anymore. But last week, he's more confident than any of us.
I was talking about
booking travel plans for round two.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I don't even think it's a question. I think it's a where, not an if.
All right, known optimist Ethan. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So, Weiss, go ahead.
Real quick, before we'll talk about it, I have to confront Bobby about something, and I didn't tell him I was going to confront him about this, and I wasn't going to do this on his show.
I love Bobby, it.
I have a theory in my head that you are behind that Wes.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I've gotten that a lot. It's not – Entertainer actually does know who it is.
I have two questions for you. Number one, if you were behind that account, would you tell me yes or no?
And then, well, here's the issue, and Justin can attest to that, is that I can't keep, like, I would, I, at some point, I'd just be like, you idiots. And now,
you wouldn't be able to control yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to control myself. And also, I would get annoyed by the people like responding to it. And I'd be like,
it would have been like,
you know, it's a joke.
No. You know how I know it's not you? Because after Nick, you can bleep the name in post production. After.
You don't have to believe
that.
We don't want to give him
any publicity. After he had gotten duped by Wesley Steinberg yesterday, 2 days ago, like that would have been your last Infinity Stone. Like, I feel like once you had duped him, you would have been like, all right, guys, like it was me. Like, I fucking got him. Like, I've gotten every single person that I hate in this.
Giant
in
insider with the Kelvin Bench. What's funny is it just started off with because I actually hate those accounts because they pop up around draft time.
Oh yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, this, and I'm like, just shut up. And actually I don't hate the accounts. I hate the way people react to them. It's like, come on. Like, how many times have we got to explain? Don't respond. Like the whole Chris Pettit burner accounts. It's like, come on, guys. Like, those are obviously some fan fucking with you to make you, like, how do you guys believe that shit? So I actually hated the Wes Steinberg account at first, and then the Kelvin Benjamin tweet like turned me like, oh, this is actually like a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. And I just want to, I want to make the like the phraseology a bit more mainstream. Like, we have Woj bombs, like Stein bombs, like Stein, like Stein bombs is like, it flows, like it works better than Woj bomb. It works better than, like, I don't even know if Shams, does Shams have one?
Nah.
Like, Schefter doesn't have one. Like, Stein bomb. Like, oh, that's a Stein bomb. Like, I want that to be a thing.
Some, or, you know, I don't know. I actually do got to defend, though, because I guess I saw, because someone responded with that, like that. They I guess they have like that, social media people that do it for them.
They have an intern at a
without. So I kind of, now that intern is definitely an idiot, but I can defend them to where, like we have a Jam football page that I don't have anything to do with, and I just know it's like one day they're gonna tweet something that's gonna make us look so stupid, and I'm
and
gonna,
it's the one who looks dumb, not the intern that, tweeted it out. Yeah. I'm gonna find a way to keep saying it.
You can see Nick writing down timestamps right now. This is going to be like the funniest episode we've ever done. Nick, every other word is going to be a bleep.
Yeah. Oh, it's
well, fine. I still have a theory that Bobby's behind it. I don't give a shit what he says.
Okay, so, but real, so entertainer, the entertainer, he knows.
You're not over 30 yet, so you can still do that.
That's true. A couple months. So he knows who's behind it.
Yeah, it's just some random fan. Like,
okay, so it's not a content creator. It's just like
it's just some random fan. I think he might even live in the UK or something. I shouldn't be sharing all these details, but I think he just lives in the, like, he's just some random fan from the UK.
Yeah, quiet there, blabbermouth Skinner. You think a content creator would be able to keep this secret for this long?
Yeah, they would take credit.
That's a good point.
Yes, Bobby would. Yes, I know Bobby. He likes to troll people. He does all this all the time.
He's resolute.
And so, so here's the thing is, sometimes I hate the Wes Steinberg tweets. I'm like, that's too stupid. And then I'll check 5 hours later. I'm like, oh my God, it has 700 people coaching. So I made fun of the people who I'll stop making you guys bleep stuff out. The graphic. So I've had about 50 responses in the last, though, like 12 hours of like, that's way too much money. And I'm like, it's a joke. Like, that says tweet deleted. Like, how, you know, figure it out at this point. Anyways,
the best part of, I mean, all right, last thing on Wesley Steinberg is, like, my favorite, we've spoken about this on the podcast before, is my favorite part of it is that the team really, I mean, it stopped this past offseason bringing in the new regime, but the team was such a joke for so long that, like, a lot of the tweets were either just so ridiculous that you could, there's a world in which, like, you might believe it, or like Westradamus, like, he would tweet something earlier in the season that was like ridiculous, and then 6 months later you'd be like, holy shit, like, this sort of did happen in a way during the season, like, this team is a joke. So anyway, Wes Steinberg A+. I've always loved the account. I think it's so fucking funny, and I'm glad to know that it's not a content creator that's behind it. It's just some random dude.
It's Bobby. I'm just gonna live with that. Live with that in my mind. But listen, playoff game excitement, we all think the Giants can win this game. I believe they're going to win this game. Yeah, that they will win this game because they're going to dominate the Vikings offensive line. I don't know if anybody's checked, but the Vikings, they're starting like their third string tackle, and their interior of the offensive line is messed up. Garrett Bradbury might not play. Brian Neal's done for the year with the Achilles stud. And I think this is a big Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau game. I think Monday morning we're talking about their defensive line. Bobby, Justin, what do you guys think?
I agree, man. And even like Christian Darrisaw, who's like on his way to being a like I think he's kind of, like, he's on his way, but he still has a thing of like letting guys get around the corner on him, but Kirk will step up. Aziz is like, that's what he's best at. It's getting around the corner type thing and dipping that edge and turning those into sacks instead of just getting washed around. And their interior already sucked, right? Well, now they're facing Dexter Lawrence. Hopefully
Leonard Williams. Lawrence.
And then if you put like Kayvon on the right tackle, like O'Neal was a decent right tackle. Well, now you got Kayvon on some bad backup right tackle, and he can abuse him the same way he did a guy like Tyler Smith or, you know, the guy from the Commanders. You know, so
I'm really excited because I truly believe primetime Kayvon is going to be the antithesis of primetime Kirk. Like, this man might have 5 sacks.
Yeah, and primetime Kayvon has actually, like, showed up to be true. Like, you think the Dallas game, the prime Commanders game. Like,
Ole Udoh is starting at right tackle for the Vikings.
Yeah, who I don't even know who he is.
Who is that? Yeah.
He one time got arrested. He got arrested, like, in the offseason for, like, I think he – not sexual harassment. I think he like indecent something weird. The charges were.
You
dropped.
Should find it out before you just like every Giants fan that listens to this. No. Like, allegedly, this guy just flashes people.
Allegedly,
he did something weird. He was arrested for it. I know. I should have wrote this down. Bad on me. But my point is, this is the game for the Giants defensive line where it's like they are really, really good, and they are going to take advantage of this. And I understand Vikings 31st ranked passing defense. I think that's what it was. But to me, I don't think they're going to be able to win a shootout if this is like a 35-38 game, even though that Christmas Eve game was. But to me, if you're winning this game, you are getting to Kirk Cousins. You're forcing turnovers. And I do think that's what's going to happen. You guys asked me on your pod, remember, like, Landon Collins interception or Kayvon strip sack. And I said, I think a Kayvon strip sack is coming. They are going to get to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. And I think winning the turnover battle here, which is such like I hate cliche talking like just football talking points, but really in this game, like winning that turnover battle and getting, you know, even if it's a tipped pass that, you know, Kayvon or somebody at the line of scrimmage tips up and Wink Martindale sends a guy in a blitz, they get their hands up. If that ball stays up in the air, somebody's got to get underneath. If there's somebody that fumbles it, somebody on the Giants has to fall on it. A strip sack, you know, remember that, you know, Weiss, you just talked about it, you know, where Aziz came around the edge, he beat Christian Darrisaw. Aziz Ojulari swipes at Kirk Cousins' hands. He doesn't fumble the ball. It's like, that's so frustrating. Didn't even see Aziz Ojulari coming from his blind side, but finds a way to hold on to that ball. So, you know, Giants lost that turnover battle, you know, two to zip, you know, with the Daniel Bellinger fumble and then the Daniel Jones interception, and they still were within 3. And I felt like the Vikings a couple weeks ago on Christmas Eve, I felt like that was a game where Kirk Cousins could have thrown like a couple interceptions. You know, maybe there was an opportunity for a strip fumble, like we just said. So,
yeah, well, Justin, you've been tweeting about it incessantly for like a week. You're still mad that they lost that game, tweeting about all the missed opportunities.
I'm very mad. And, you know, winning the turnover battle, I think it can go, you know, that's huge. And the Giants defense hasn't forced a lot of turnovers this year. In the games that they have, I felt like it's a good result has happened.
Oh, and we got to fact check that Vikings offensive lineman got arrested for trying to break into a women's bathroom in a nightclub. So, yes, like I said, very weird.
It's a little weird.
Something weird like that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Weird. Very weird.
Kayvon's suspicious. Take him behind the shed.
Snow angel him to death, Kayvon.
There you go.
Yeah. Who's going to be the unlikely hero on offense?
Daniel Bellinger, 100%.
Okay. I like it.
Bobby.
100%.
I think it's going to be Slayton, man. Like, I think they're going to put, like, they, you had Hodgins had his game. I think Richie's kind of going to get hit, you know.
Richie's going to get his regardless.
Yeah. He's a slot player, like, in this offense versus a too high safety. Like, he's going to get his touches. And I think there's going to be some emphasis on Hodgins because he won on those in breakers and then has the double move. Slayton had a better double move in that game, but there was pressure and DJ scrambled and didn't see it. Slayton, as with all this Hodgins love, Slayton has still been putting up more yards per game. He creates those explosives. And I think this, you know, coaching staff knows, like, we're going to need some explosives to win this game, right? And I think Slayton has been, because he had the drop versus the Commanders and you know, a fumble versus the Colts, he's kind of gotten forgotten, but he's been the Giants' leading receiver in yards per game. He's having a best year in catch rate. And I think when it comes down to it, the only guy that Daniel Jones trusts to just chuck it up to is Darius Slayton. Like, the only way he's thrown to Hodgins deep is if he totally beats his man. Slayton is the one guy where he's like, you got even a half a step, I'll throw it. So I think Slayton has to kind of be that guy.
Yeah, I feel like Slayton has kind of become the forgotten guy on this offense. Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins have been two of the receivers towards this last quarter of the season when the Giants offense has gotten heating up. I think just statistically they've been better than Darius Slayton, but what Slayton can really bring to the mix is the combination of explosive plays, which I don't think Richie James can bring. Hodgins can bring it, sure, but what Slayton brings is the speed, and Isaiah Hodgins is very, very slow. So
very slow.
The combo of Darius Slayton creating the explosives, whether it's by throwing it to him deep naturally with the large average depth of target, or even a play that came from that first Minnesota game was Darius Slayton running crosses over the middle of the field, and then he gets yards after the catch, gets a little bit of separation, you know, starts, lines up on the right side of the field, catches it in the middle of the field, takes it up that left sideline, and that was one of the 5 20-plus-yard plays that the Giants had a couple weeks ago against the Vikings. So I think Darius Slayton in yards after the catch, which has actually been something that they've utilized this year. This coaching staff has actually gotten some of their guys in some positive yards after the catch situations where Garrett was like the worst in the National Football League at it.
Yeah. And it's saying something too, because I feel like the Giants don't have very many good yak guys.
No.
I mean, Slayton.
Schemes created it a little bit this year. It hasn't been like fantastic, but Slayton with his speed can definitely bring that element to this game on Sunday.
Definitely.
One thing I want to ask you, Bobby, I think one area where the Giants could get wrecked, this game could get wrecked for the Giants, is with Evan Neal going against Hunter and Za'Darius Smith. Yeah. I want to ask you, because I have this conversation with people all the time, and the easy answer is, well, he's a rookie. But I watch your O-line breakdown all the time. What is it with Evan Neal, right? Because everyone points to, well, Andrew Thomas struggled, but Andrew Thomas got better as the season went on.
Thomas had flashes.
Thomas's rookie season was a success when you look at how it went. Exactly. The start of it sucked.
Right. Evan Neal, is this a simple fix? Is this a complex situation? You do a great job with this stuff. So tell me, how is this going to get fixed?
Well, I do think it's not as tough as a fix, because it's some simple stuff with the footwork and playing with a little more confidence. That being said, I never thought Evan Neal would be as good as Andrew Thomas, which isn't a slight. Andrew Thomas is basically the third best left tackle in the NFL right now, after Trent Williams and Laremy Tunsil. But there's no denying that he does have some balance issues and can be top heavy, which, you know, I remember Chris Long talked about it in the preseason in a breakdown. That's some stuff that can give you issues. But with Neal, you see some good things there. He's able to handle this guy. It's just he's kind of got to get used to playing in those more aggressive pass pro sets. And if you watch the O-line reports, get to the third step, man. Look what happens when you do get to the third step. I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was the Colts game where I'm like, hey, they still have the same issues, but look at what happens when you do it right and you have success. So. But I do worry about some balance issues. Kwity Paye had him on the ground a couple times in the run game. You see that quite a lot. So after Andrew Thomas's rookie season, I was very confident. Okay, he's the guy. He's fine. After Neal's rookie season, I'm not confident.
Ouch. How much of it was the injuries, you think? Because I feel like with the offensive linemen, it's sort of with these rookies, they got to get the reps. They got to learn. It's sort of learning on the fly. But then when you get injured, it's like, I got to go rehab. It's a big guy. They're working back from injury.
Here's the thing is in season, you don't actually work on you get great coaching on what the team you're playing does. You don't really get great coaching on your technique in season. That's camp and off season type stuff. So hopefully he goes to work this off season and has someone work with it. With Thomas, you did see some of that his rookie year, because Joe Judge was like, fuck this Mark Colombo asshole, who's teaching this guy to do all these hand tricks when all he needs to do is just work on this little thing on his footwork. Neal hasn't had that this year. So I actually think he would benefit from an O-line coach just being like, hey, kind of play what your game is and do what you feel comfortable with, because being coachable can almost be a bad thing sometimes. Like Thomas doesn't work perfectly with what the coaches want technically all the time. So big picture, I think Neal's just, it's going to be an off-season thing with Evan Neal. And we'll find out the first quarter of next season with him. But the Vikings game, he's going to be really bad. And they have Danielle Hunter, Za'Darius Smith. The frustrating thing with the Vikings is any team that has two good edge rushers, Thomas has got them locked down, right?
Right.
With the Vikings, they'll put Hunter on Neal, and they put Za'Darius all over on the inside, on the guards and the centers. I just sent a video to Justin to highlight a pre-snap for me. So it's they can win like that. So going that is what keeps me from being super confident in this Vikings game, is those two guys could wreck the game plan against Mark Lewinsky, John Feliciano, and Evan Neal.
This game is really interesting from the perspective that they played each other a couple of weeks ago. In terms of just intangibles and mental stuff, how much of an advantage is that for a young team like the Giants that kind of doesn't know any better? I know that's one of those cliches football people love to talk about.
I've been using that all week. They're like stupid to know better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. They shouldn't be here. They kind of acknowledge that, but they're going to go into this game with the expectation they should win. How much of an advantage is that?
Playoffs don't make a huge difference besides quarterbacks. Because O-line, you're still blocking the guy in front of you. Pass rushers, you're still, you know, linebacker maybe. But quarterback is where it is so mental, you know, where it's like it can make you just a half a second more hesitant, you know, like Kirk Cousins.
I was going to say, if anything, this benefits the Giants more than
the Vikings. And that's where, like, Daniel Jones, and you could – now you Daniel Jones, out, like, Daniel Jones' primetime record sucks. But how many times have we came away from a primetime game? And it might not even be like a big picture Daniel Jones conversation, but like, man, like, he showed up. Everybody else sucked, though. Like the Cowboys Monday Night Football game earlier this year, where it's like DJ's getting wrecked play after play, and he's just gutting it out. You know, the Commanders week 3 game last season. Besides the Bucks Monday Night Football games, I'll give you those. Those have been awful disasters. So that's where it's like you do give the advantage to the Giants, where it's like,
Because I'm expecting Kirk Cousins to just poop his pants. Daniel Jones, on the other hand, it's like, I don't know. There's just something about the guy. You look at him, and it's almost like when Mr. Krabs tells SpongeBob, "Forget everything you know except fine dining and breathing."
Yeah, it's basically
for Daniel Jones. It's forget everything you know except football and how to drink a lot. Like that's literally him. There's not much going on up there besides football and can I drink 20 beers today?
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, you come away from this game, even if the Giants somehow don't end up winning, I think fans will, for the most part, be happy with DJ. I pointed it out a couple weeks ago. Like, just remember,
but that's irrelevant conversation because they're going to win. But
yeah, the Duke Clemson game, like from his last year in college, you go and look at, like, they scored what, 10 points? And they're like, this dude is getting wrecked, and he's throwing ball. He's like running to his left, throwing the ball 50 yards downfield, perfect throw, drop on this third down, drop on this. Like I think he even did like a fake punt, slant route, something like they. He showed up in those big games, so that's what gives me a little bit of hope. I don't even know how we got off on this conversation. Experience thing, but I do think experience can be a little overrated, except for at the quarterback position, which I think might be the advantage for the Giants.
Sure.
But I think what it kind of will boil down to this game, and I know that, you know, this is a little bit more like really football niche rather than just kind of like, oh, experience, not experience. I think it boils down to coaching and going from the first matchup. What can you do differently in the second matchup now that that team has 60 minutes of film going up against your defense, your offense, et cetera, et cetera? What can Wink Martindale do to add wrinkles to, you know, what he did against Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson the first time, and then therefore what can Mike Kafka and what can Brian Daboll do the second time that will add certain wrinkles and add a certain element to what they did, and they had success against the Vikings the first time. Can they add that? And it's like a back brain worry. It's not really a front brain worry. A front brain worry is like, oh man, can Evan Neal protect on the right side? A back brain worry is, can this Giants offense realistically do anything vastly different from the first time that they did, the first time that they had success against the Minnesota Vikings? And something that Bobby and I, you know, we've been talking about, we're going to hit more of it on kind of like our preview pod and when we get to the nitty gritty of it. But, Saquon Barkley in the receiving game, you know, not just having him, come out of swings.
I did see you just put out a tweet about that, Justin.
Yeah, but adding a little bit more nuances to Saquon's route running, you know, coming out of the backfield, maybe, you know, not going crazy, targeting him deep down the field, but besides just being a check down option.
Right. I have, go ahead, Wes.
Talked about the defense. I want to touch on Justin Jefferson. I thought they did a pretty good job for like the first three quarters on Jefferson the first time, given the situation they were in at the secondary. I think Minnesota's going to look a lot to the quick passing game. Typically with Kirk Cousins, the reason why he took so many sacks and hits is because he's always waiting for the route to finish or develop before giving the ball to Jefferson. And that's not a bad thing. I think this game, it's about more of the quick stuff. With that being said, Adore being back, I think, is huge. What is, like, how would you approach the Justin Jefferson battle?
He's the one guy where you don't just put Adore on him. You put Adore on him and still double him. You know, like that's how you slow him down. Like you double him with Nick McLeod and Jason Pinnock and he doesn't matter type guy. But with Adore and doubling him with Love or McKinney and you know, and it doesn't matter what side he's on now because the Giants have changed their defense around.
They also put him in the slot too a lot in that game too.
Yeah, that's putting him in the slot. Like, I wish, like, I don't want Darnay Holmes on the field. Like, I wish we didn't have to worry about Cordell Flott being 160 pounds in the run game, because I would rather Flott play there. Because that's when he's in the slot, I guess you can have Adore follow him in there. That's why I worry about him. But the Giants also aren't as running as much man coverage as they have where they in the start of the season, where they were just playing man and they could follow anybody anywhere.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Weiss and I spoke about this last week. We disagreed a little bit. The only team that scares me in the NFC is the 49ers. I think the Giants have more than a fighting chance against virtually every other team. Do you agree or disagree?
Ethan, yeah. You are so checked out of this Vikings game, man.
It's not even a question. Not even a question. What? It's where we're going to play the NFC Championship game.
I can't even comprehend your question that you just asked me because, that's crazy, man.
Okay, then fine, Justin.
This is what I told them.
Justin, put it in a fucking vacuum then. If the Giants had to face any NFC team in round one, okay, which team would you not want to face?
Yeah, but I want to back up Ethan for a second here before Justin answers that, is when people talk about overconfidence, I think the playoffs are the time when you do become overconfident because that overconfidence doesn't come with lack of preparation. Like you go against the Colts, you can be overconfident. You don't prepare the right way. You prepare the right way for the playoffs, no matter who you're playing. But you got to have that fuck you confidence. Like I'm going to smack you in the mouth play after play after play. And I know the fans don't matter, but I think we should have overconfidence too.
Absolutely. Fuck Kirk Cousins. Anyway, go ahead. Answer the question.
Wow. So who's the team that I don't want to play, or who do I want to play?
Yeah, like which teams would you be like, fuck no? Because for me, it's the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's the 49ers. Basically, any team besides – even the Bucs I would be a little scared of. The Vikings is like the one team that I'm like, I would want them again, and I feel confident beating them.
Yeah.
I saw the picture that Fox put out today of like, these are the NFC playoff quarterbacks. And I was like, oh shit. Like
exactly.
Let's go to the fucking Super Bowl. Like, let's do it. Like,
thank you. Kirk Cousins, 50-year-old Tom Brady.
Brady's the worst on the worst Brock team Purdy. In this thing. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
I know Vikings fans are probably saying the same things and Eagles fans, but I was just like, oh, I'm not scared of any of these motherfuckers.
I think Daniel Jones is the only first round quarterback to be in the NFC playoffs.
He is.
Yeah. How do you like that?
Which is weird because the NFL is basically only first round quarterbacks.
Yeah, the AFC. Like, look at the AFC. It's a very different story there. But how do you like that?
Honor of the playoffs, I want to ask you guys, and we'll wrap up with these type of quick questions. Favorite New York Giant playoff game that wasn't the Super Bowl?
Favorite.
I mean,
Ever.
I feel like you have to say 2011 NFC Championship game, right?
That was going to be my answer, yeah.
That was on my birthday, but that Packers game, like that one was tough too, man.
Yeah.
And I also do listen to your guys' podcast, and I totally agree with you. Like, Lawrence Tynes missed two kicks. Like,
you almost fucking killed Tom Coughlin.
I had MySpace back then. Remember, like, MySpace, like, bulletin posts? I was like, what the fuck? Make the kick. Like, I remember all that shit, like, vividly, and I remember wearing my Michael Strahan jersey. That Packers game, just because it was so cold, and it was, I think that Packers game, the 49ers game, though, is like the most proud of Eli moment, though.
Yeah,
that was the Gladiator game. It was like, you give that game like a Oscar,
yeah.
You know,
Corey Webster picking off Brett Favre in his last throw as a Green Bay Packer, like that. Yep. That's probably my favorite one.
I also wish I wasn't 2 years old for the 2000 NFC Championship game, because especially the thought of even being at that game is super awesome too. So
yeah, I wasn't old enough for that
two
one.
2 years old, holy crap!
It was 2 years. We already discussed this.
We just we pre-pod. We discussed this.
That's how math works.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I thought Justin was like 30.
No.
Nope. Favorite Giant playoff performer not named Eli Manning.
Steve Smith.
Justin loves Steve Smith.
I do.
Steve Smith's a good one.
I'm going to say Justin Tuck.
That's a good one.
Him and Leonard Marshall have very similar postseason resumes.
Jake Ballard.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Deep
Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah.
I will never, like, it's burned into my brain, the Hakeem Nicks taking it to the house against the Falcons and doing the dirty bird in the end zone. Yeah. Like, I will never forget that.
Bobby, you're really thinking about this one.
Well, here's it's you just kind of remember Eli, and there's not a ton of crossover from 2007 to 2011, unless you just want. But the O-line was so bad in 2011 that it's like, those are my football heroes. I can't give it to them.
You could say Plax in like the 2007 NFC Championship game. Just, you know,
I was thinking Plax, Jacobs, even though Jacobs didn't have amazing playoff runs, but him running over Charles Woodson was like,
yeah, wow, my favorite,
set the tone,
favorite moments, but.
Bobby, I thought you were gonna pick Odell in 2016.
That was I was living with my friend who had a kid at the time, and he's like, "You want to play Madden afterwards?" I'm like, "I want to." Oh man, that game pisses me off so bad.
Well, I was getting married, and I was in a very good like mood. I was like, "Oh, it's okay, you know, I got a busy January and February lined up for myself."
And I was like, "If you got Eli, you got a shot." And Sterling Shepard drops a touchdown. Odell drops 19 passes. Yeah, I'm going to go Plax. Kevin Boss, the Super Bowl catch, though, that one's a big like memory for me. Like, that's vivid. Like,
the obscure tight ends. Always a good pick.
And people forget David Tyree had a touchdown.
That could be Bellinger.
I know. I voted, by the way, David Tyree for the MVP. Because you used to be able to vote for Super Bowl MVP. I voted David Tyree. I was like, he got a touchdown, that big catch. He's my MVP.
Yeah.
And last one player, not quarterback, that you would want to pull off one of those playoff teams to be on this
Giants playoff teams?
Victor Cruz, man. He would be the perfect fit in this offense. The way him and Eli talk about the option routes, and that is something that Brian Daboll and Kafka and Mike Rowe like want to run. Victor Cruz would be catching 90% of his passes from Eli Manning in this offense.
Justin?
I have an easy one, and it's Antonio Pierce.
That's a good one too, because we're like that bad at linebacker.
Nick,
I'm gonna go.
I'm sorry, Ethan.
JPP.
Yeah,
because
pass rushers.
Because can you imagine Wink getting to run NASCAR with Kayvon, JPP, and Aziz?
Yeah, but then you gotta take like Dexter Leo off the field.
Take Leo off the field, bro.
Stop.
You make it seem like that's a hard decision for me.
Yeah. Either Chris Snee or Sean O'Hara, the inside of this line is awful. You get one of those guys in here, we can really get going downhill. That would be
ideal. I like that. Yeah. I actually like that answer.
Yeah, now Nick's just sucking up.
Look at us.
Yeah.
No. I know ball, Ethan. Offensive linemen matter. Respect offensive linemen.
Who would have thought?
I'm actually with Nick on that. Give me Chris Snee.
Okay.
What about Kareem McKenzie, fixed right tackle?
I'm
not doing that to my guy Evan Neal.
For the playoff run, man.
Confidence. Right. We need him to have confidence.
Well, we're very confident going into Sunday.
Clearly we are.
Ethan.
we're ready.
Yeah. Justin, you know how confident I am? We were doing I'll wrap this up. We were doing last episode, and I realized that I have a flight to Las Vegas, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. Wow. And I was already lamenting how, like, I really hope it doesn't interfere with the Giants' second round game.
You're coming from the top rope confident right now.
Justin's more confident. We have flights to Mobile, Alabama, Sunday of conference championship week for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And Justin just calls me, and his first thing is like, what happens if we're in the conference championship in Alabama? And I was like, then we are just not going to Senior Bowl practice, but we're just going to do the show from Alabama that week.
Yep.
I play out scenarios in the shower in my head, and I was thinking, okay, if we beat the Vikings, which we are, we're probably going to go to Philly. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm definitely going to Philadelphia. It's 2 hours away from me. But I was like, how do I disguise myself that I'm not a Giants fan? And I was secretly giving myself like high fives, wearing a black hoodie, like, yeah, we won, we did it, you know, and trying to get out of Philadelphia. So I was playing that thing out of my head. How
all in the shower, you win.
All in the shower. Yeah. My water bill is pretty crazy.
You need the Rob Lowe NFL logo hat, Weiss. That's what you need.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I got a black hoodie. I'm ready. I think this is – look, I said it. This NFC is wide open, and I will not be surprised if the Giants don't find themselves playing in 1, 2, 3 playoff games.
I'll tell you one team that doesn't want to see the Giants. It's the Eagles.
Oh my God, that game gave me a newfound confidence. Like, same, oh yeah, dude. We can.
Oh yeah.
Like, you guys got dicked down by, you know, Davis Webb in the fourth
quarter. Bro, I'm not even kidding. Like, if I'm Dable, I'm putting out the depth chart for a game against the Eagles. Like, I'm listing Davis Webb QB1 just to fuck with him.
Yeah.
That's quite a phrase. It's quite an adjective there, Bobby Skinner.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, I was like, yeah, I don't really use that phrase on a podcast.
Yeah, no. It doesn't happen often.
No. But you can say whatever you want here. All right, let's wrap it up. Boys, thanks for coming on. If you're listening, you already know where to follow them on Twitter. Go subscribe to the Talking Giants podcast, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, I'm assuming. Boys, thanks for coming on. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you guys. Let's win some games.
Go Giants. All right, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bobby and Justin. Go Giants. You know where to find us on all the social media. You know where to subscribe to our podcast. Giants victory. We'll talk to you guys after this weekend.
Peace.
Beat the damn Vikings.